chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This morning I talked to you about these four lepers and how that they was used to tell the good news. The good news, what Christ, Jesus Christ, has done, how he had delivered those people from bondage with a great miracle of the blessings of those Caesareans. And now tonight we're going to talk about going fishing with Jesus Christ. How we might carry now this good news to this world. Do we really understand that people is lost and they dying in their sins? Do we really understand without telling them about Jesus Christ, they will not be saved? So we want to ask the Lord just to open up our hearts and our understanding tonight that we need to be the people that wins other people to the Lord. As I said this morning, can you remember back when someone had some influence on your life and told you about Jesus Christ? Maybe it was at a young age, and maybe it was your mother and your father, your grandparents, maybe your neighbor, your friends that had told you about Jesus Christ. I remember. Maybe those people has done gone on to be with the Lord. But I wonder now if 50 years from now, will they look back for you and look back at me and say, well, I remember that man, that lady, how that person helped me out and led me to the Lord and kept working with me until I finally realized that I was lost and I needed a Savior, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, asked Him to forgive me my sins and help me keep on keeping on, that I'm the person I am today because of someone else. Would you like to be that person? Well, there's a lot of people in our area. There's a lot of people around us every day. We have some family members. I'm probably sure all of us do have some family members that's just not saved. We have some family members that needs to be closer to the Lord, and you might be that person to help them just by what you do on your everyday life and just by visiting them. But we're talking about going fishing with Jesus Christ. Now, I know we have some men in here and some women also. The women likes to fish too, but mostly we have some men that really likes to fish. Well, how about going fishing with Jesus Christ? I hear from time to time people ask me, you want to go fishing with me? And other people say, how about let's go fishing? And so-and-so, they go and fishing. But have you ever been fishing with Jesus? Now, you men like to go fishing, but do you ever go fishing with Jesus? Now, that's very, very important, fishing with Jesus Christ. Now, we have here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we have where Jesus Christ has already called his disciples, many of them. Now, he was going through the sea, around the Sea of Galilee, and he's been preaching, he's been healing, and the great miracles have been happening. Now, we find out that Jesus come here to the Sea of Galilee. In the Sea of Galilee, the people have been following Jesus Christ now for the miracles and for the Word of God. Now, they have gathered up around him, and Jesus Christ is going to use a ship as a pulpit. He's going to use that sandy shores as pews. And he's going to use that water edge as a microphone to speak to multitudes of people. Mostly he is discussing here now about going fishing and making you and I and making these disciples and the people around him, the multitude, fishers of men. That's what we need to be. We need to picture this world as people that needs to come to Jesus Christ and throwing out the gospel net. We just about have forgot about what we really left here to do on this earth. So as we read these verses of scriptures, there's several of them. I'd like for you to get the whole picture. In verse 1, chapter 5 of Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And when it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ship, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, when he quit preaching to them, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt be catchers of men, or catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. That is Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the power of thy word. We want to thank you, Lord, for the living word of God. And how, Father, we look upon these pages. And Lord, the Spirit of God just illuminates our mind and our heart to get this picture how you was here on this earth. You was walking around in a body, Father. And well, you called your disciples and you taught them how that they must go out into this world and catch men for you, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, that we might understand that we are the people now. Lord, the disciples are done gone. They're with you now, Lord, in heaven. But, Lord, you have left us here for a great reason. Father, we know it won't be many days. We know it won't be long that you'll let these lives that we have today stay on this old dusty road that we walk on each day. But, Father, while we're here, Lord, help us to understand, Father, to get the picture, oh, God, and the vision, Lord, that we need to be soul winners for you and just carry the message. And, Father, you have told us in your word how we to go about doing this. You have given us an illustration, Father, and you have given us examples and hearing this word of God. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you might open up our hearts, our understanding by the Spirit and the word of God, that we might be able to see the great power, the working power of Jesus Christ on some people's lives that need to be saved. Father, there's so many around us that they just hear the word of God and know what the word of God would do for them. Father, we know that they would be saved. So we thank you for the privilege that we have to carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world we live in this day. And Father, we thank you for all these many blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ, we find here now, is preaching the word. As he's preaching the word to start with, as you see the picture, as he's preaching the word to the multitude of people. They've been hearing this now for several days. They are following him by the hundreds are following Jesus Christ. So he says, this is a good opportunity for me to get out in this boat. And you see the people, so many around him that they couldn't even hardly get to him. So he used this boat. So he shoves out a little ways from the bank and he began to preach. The drawing power of the word of God. The miracles are what happens whenever the word of God is preached. The miracle of catching fish for mankind. Now, a fishing exposition now with Jesus Christ, it was so productive that you know what? They filled two boats at a point that they was about to sink. I want you to think about this. Now, whenever you go, and a lot of times you say, well, I'm afraid I won't say the right thing. That person is lost, and I like to see that person saved, but I'm afraid that I won't be able to say the right thing. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Listen, you're not going by yourself. You're going with Jesus. And honest time that you ever fail when you try to lead someone to the Lord or tell them about Jesus Christ is when you don't do it. That's the honest time that you ever fail. Many, many times that I have tried to lead someone to the Lord and I say, well, I should have said this, I should have said that, and I felt so inadequate whenever I got through trying to tell them how to be saved. And I feel like I made a failure out of it. But the honest time you ever fail is Satan to make you feel that way. And the honest time that you ever fail when you don't do nothing. When you do not tell them about the great blessings of being saved. Spiritual purpose now that we have in mind here about this miracle. It says there in verse 10, now Jesus says it's a spiritual miracle. He says now in verse 10, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt be catchers of men. He's using this now for a spiritual example now, a spiritual application. Fishing reminds us of people. Fish reminds us of people. You know how fish are. They'll dart here and they'll dart there. They'll go in deep water. They'll go in shallow water. Well, you know, they dart here and they dart there. They bite on this and they bite on that. So that's the way people are. They're here and they're there. They're gone. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They dart here and they just dart there. Some in shallow water and some in deep water. So the fish reminds us as people. But also, fish reminds us of ourselves. We are the fishermen ourselves. Jesus Christ says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. He told his disciples that and he is also telling us that today. The great enterprise on earth is catching people for Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that you're here for, is to catch people for Jesus Christ. It says, henceforth you will be catchers of men. Here in my Bible, the King James Version Bible, is only one other time this is mentioned. This word and this phrase is used in the New Testament time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, when it's talking about the devil. And it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Same word there, for henceforth will he be catching men. They'll be captured by him. They're captured by the devil. You may not understand this, but the devil is also fishing for people. Did y'all know that? He is also fishing for people. You know, he wants to hook people himself. He hooks people in all kinds of ways. He hooks people on alcohol. You know, he hooks people on dope. You ever heard somebody say they're hooked on it? Well, that's exactly what the devil wants. They're hooked on it. They're hooked on dope, and they're hooked on pleasure. They're hooked on material things. That's Satan's fishing. He's out for souls. He's out for the souls of your children. He's out for the souls of your family. He's out for your soul and my soul. But if you're saved, he can't get your soul. Well, Jesus Christ also, he's fishing for people. He wants to hook people into life. Oh, the devil wants to hook them into death, but he wants you to hook them into life. He wants people hooked on peace. Now, you know, in a day that we're living in today, I'm telling you what, people need peace. There's so much turmoil today in family members and lives today. We need peace. Jesus Christ wants to hook people on peace. But not only that, he wants to hook people on joy. I mean, that joy, to think about the joy in Christ Jesus. The lesson there that we should learn here today, that I'm going to tell you, winning people to the Lord, we need to be soul winners just for this account for Jesus Christ. Compare fishing now and fishing, both of us today. We see that the fish reminds us of people and the fisherman reminds of ourselves. Here at Pleasant Hill, let's go fishing. Let's catch people for Jesus Christ. More people need to be saved. We're at a time with opportunity. More people need to be saved than ever been saved before. How many people are being saved? Going fishing with Jesus Christ today. We need to go fishing with Jesus Christ. Not just influence some. Some said, well, wherever I go, they quit biting. I just influence them. It's not about influencing them. It's about catching them for Jesus Christ. The factor what I want to call your attention to about this soul win, about going out, is the domination factor. Now, when you go, and you ought to go, if you're going to be a child of God, you ought to go. There's factors involved in this. Things that I've had to learn, things that you have to learn. But the first thing that I have to learn, the factor about this, is that to obey Jesus Christ in soul winning. Bringing people to Jesus Christ, there's factors involved. And you got to get this factor settled to start with. Before you ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ, or before you ever will tell anybody about Jesus Christ, you got to understand one thing and find out and decide who's in charge. There's a dominion factor in charge. Who's in charge of your life? When you go out to witness somebody, you need to find out who's in charge. Jesus Christ called his disciples, had already called them, and said, follow me and I will make you fishermen of men. They had left their nets. They had gone with Jesus Christ. But now you find out they are back fishing again. You know, this same thing occurs over and over and over in the life of the fishermen, of the disciples. And you know, it's a pattern. It's sometimes that we follow as Christians. We find, you know, after Jesus Christ was put on the cross, he died. And we find after his resurrection, guess what happened? Remember what old Peter said there in the last chapter of the book of John? I go fishing. I'm going back. I'm going back. And we'll find out in a few minutes what he said about that. But you see, there's a pattern that we know constantly. There's a pull. Are you finding out there's a pull in your old life to go back to your old lifestyle? Do you find out there's a pull there to go back to your old desires? Do you find out there's a pull to go back to your former friends? There's a pull. When someone gets saved, you know, a lot of times there's a pull so hard that they just kind of give up sometimes and they just go back into their old lifestyle. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is not going to let them stay there. He's going to bring them out of that lifestyle one way or another. But there's constantly that old pull. Well, the first thing you understand whenever you pull back in that old lifestyle, you're not going to witness to nobody when you're back into your old lifestyle, your old desires, your old habits. You're not going to witness to nobody. Oh, it pulled you away from the people of God. It's pulled you away from the Word of God. It's pulled you away from the house of God. And you're certainly not going to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. That's exactly where the devil wants you. He can't get your soul. He'll steal your joy. And I'm going to tell you what, he'll destroy your testimony. If you're not coming to church on a regular basis, you're not going to tell nobody else about Jesus Christ. Can you imagine someone say, well, I sure wish you'd come to church, and you're not going to be there yourself? You're not going to witness for Jesus Christ. You see no point in it because Satan's got you exactly where he wants you. I don't care what you do, you're not winning souls for Jesus Christ. Well, you not have to find out there's a dominion factor. There's a dominion factor to keep us from going back and understand that who's in charge. Find out who's in charge of your life right now. Who's in charge of the situation in your life? Jesus Christ stepped on Peter's boat and he took charge. Who's in charge of your boat? Who's in charge of your boat? He stepped in on that boat and he says, now launch out into the deep. He took charge, dominion in this situation as he stepped upon that boat. Jesus Christ has dominion. He has dominion over the fish. He is the last Adam. The first Adam, you know, as you find out in Genesis 1 and 26, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle of the fields, and the creeping things. You see, the first Adam had dominion also before sin. He could have done the same thing the first Adam, could have done the same thing the last Adam, Jesus Christ, could have done if he hadn't sinned. You see, Jesus Christ has dominion over the fowls of the air. You remember whenever old Peter denied him, he says, you know what, the rooster's going to crow three times. You're going to deny me three times, then the rooster's going to crow. And guess what happened? He crowed. You know, whenever they was asking who should we give tribute to, he says, you go to the Sea of Galilee and the fish come up, you get him out, and you find a coin in his mouth. I'm going to tell you, he had dominion over the fish of the sea. We find out he had dominion over the fish of the sea right here whenever they come and got in those nets. But how about over the wild beast of the field? Remember whenever Jesus Christ was riding down in Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd like to gather you together as a chickens gather her brood under her arms and you would not. And he rode down in Jerusalem there on a wild donkey. Anybody ever try to ride a wild horse or a wild cattle or anything like that? He had dominion over the beast of the field. It didn't buck. He didn't jump. He rode in victorious that day because he had dominion. You got to get this dominion factor settled to start with before you're going to go out and win anybody to the Lord. Dominion now over the fish and dominion over the fishermen. He had dominion over the fish. That's Christ Jesus. He's got dominion over the fishermen. That's you and I today. Peter, a very skilled fisherman now. He had done this all his life. He was a very skilled fisherman. He knew how to fish. He was very skilled. He had a sharp eye. That day, they cast nets. A lot of people cast nets today to catch fish. They cast nets. And they had to have a sharp eye. They watched the ripple of the water. They was up in shallow water. They went at night whenever the fish would be in these shallow waters. And they threw that net right at the right time. And I've never threw a cast net. A lot of you men have threw a cast net, but a lot of you can't like me. But it takes a lot of practice. I mean, you have to be skilled to a certain amount to be able to throw a cast net to be able to catch fish. Peter was a skilled fisherman. If anybody knew how to fish, he knew how to fish. He was skilled. A lot of people here today, they go fishing. They are skilled. Peter knew he had to fish. He said, I'll go fishing at nighttime. Now, they had fished all night according to these scriptures. Now, they knew why they fished all night because, you know, at the shallow edge, when the fish comes out in the shallow water at night, they'll come out to feed. You know, that makes sense, don't it? They knew that because they'd fished all night. That's when they went fishing on the Sea of Galilee when it was dark, when the fish come out there into the shallows. To make this more of a blessing and a miracle, Jesus Christ told them after that next morning they fished all night in the shallow waters as they usually do every night. They didn't catch anything. And then he says, go to the deep. Well, now, you know you don't catch fish in deep water. You catch fish in shallow water. But nevertheless, we'll find out in just a minute. Jesus Christ says, launch out into the deep and let down the net for a catch. Peter says, okay. He says, I'm a fisherman and you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter. I don't know how good a fisherman that Johnny Clark is. I don't know if he's a good fisherman or not. You a good fisherman, Johnny? You ain't not a good fisherman. Well, let me like Johnny get in the boat with cotton sap. All right, cotton sap, I want you to take, you need to throw your line right over here. Cotton sap, you need to put your line right over here. Cotton sap, you need a bigger hook. Cotton sap, you need a heavy sinker. Cotton sap, you need to do this. And old cotton sap looks at old Johnny and says, listen, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. Now, old Peter could have told Jesus Christ that, could he not? He was a skilled fisherman. Jesus Christ was a carpenter. But it says, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. The experience that Peter could have said no, but faith, it says, nevertheless, at thy word. Peter acknowledged the dominion of Jesus Christ over his life. In verse 5 it says, and Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all night now. We fished all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. You see, he understood who was on the board with him. It wasn't the carpenter. It was Jesus Christ, the dominion factor. The question of dominion had to be decided before you ever catch fish for Jesus Christ. It says master. Master means the captain of the boat. He's got to be, who's the captain of your life? You say master. If you're not fishing, it says that we're not fallen because we have not settled this dominion factor in our life, who Jesus is. But you see, there's a directing factor that we need to look at. Now, there's a series of directions that we need to follow if we're going to do what God has called us to do. Verse 4 it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down the net for a draught. Let them down. We're going to throw out the nets. A series of directions now. Now, Peter, like I said, had fished all night in these shallow places, and he hadn't caught anything. Now, I thank the Lord for people that fishes on the shallow waters. I thank the Lord for that. Because, see, the shallow of the water is, you know, common sense tells us that you're not going to catch a whale in the shallow water. I mean, you're going to catch smaller fish. Is that right? Well, thank the Lord that we have shallow water. You know what we do out here on Wednesday night and Sunday morning for Sunday school? You're catching the little ones for Jesus. Amen. Ain't that nice? You're catching the little ones. Ladies, men, Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night teachers, you know what you're doing? You're catching the little ones for Jesus in shallow water. Amen to that. Once you say amen to that, the little ones get saved, get baptized. Amen. We're catching the little ones for Jesus. Woo! In shallow water. Man, that they'll grow up to know Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The little ones. But you see, it says, now launch out into the deep. Now, you're not going to catch all your fish here in your classrooms. Y'all do know that, don't you? It says, now, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. Now we need to go to some deep water fishing. There's some fish that's hard to catch. We have to go to some deep. He said, launch out into the deep. How are we going to do this? Well, we do this by visiting. We do this by knocking on the door. Go to the right place to get fishes. That's what you do. The fishermen, you know what, they go together. They go to the right place. We understand this now because there's a place to go to catch fish. You go where they at. Do you not? I mean, you can go down to this little flotilla, and I don't know if Cotton Sap, he don't even hear me, he's asleep. I don't know if Cotton Sap could catch a mess of fish in Little Flotilla River now because I don't believe there's too many fish in Little Flotilla River. But I want to tell you, if you catch fish, you got to go down there to the coast somewhere or another ocean. You're going to get a mess of fish most of the time if you carry cotton with you. You got to go where the fish is at. You know what I'm talking about? I know that Laura carries Daryl, and she shows him where the fish is at. I mean, you got to go to the right place. You got to have directions, and she gives him the directions how to go. And we thank her whenever she catches fish. Daryl, she said, I told you so. You go to the right place. Now, I remember old Philip Deacon, was a deacon, old Philip. And you know what? He was preaching a revival in the city and people getting saved. And you know, God says, all right, I want you to go out there into the desert to a eunuch. He said, Lord, go to a desert. You can't catch fish on the sandbar of Little Sotelo River in a desert. He said, you go to that desert, you catch fish. And you know what happened? He went out there, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he caught a fish for Jesus Christ. You got to go and go where the fish is at. The gospel net is what we call the invitation as we go out in our daily life. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we draw the net. But we can't get the fish in unless someone goes out and gets them and brings them to where we can. I'm drawing the net tonight. I draw the net this morning. I draw the net every time that I preach. I'm drawing the net. But you see, as we cast the net out, we got to have somebody to help us get these fish in. And that's where you come in at. It takes everyone, and we'll show you about partnership in just a moment. The gospel net, for invitation to call as they go out. Now, they've been working very hard. They hadn't caught anything, but you see, Jesus Christ stepped on board. Now, that makes the difference, going to that right place. Let down your net for a great catch of fish. You need more fish? Just let them down. The nets is in the water. Now, we have more nets you have in the water, now the more fish you're going to catch. Now, if you're going to go down there and cast your net out, you have one little old net and a dozen boats, you're not going to catch very many fish. I mean, I don't know much about fishing. I know a lot of times they tell me speck fishing. You go down there to one of these freshwater lakes down in Florida, and you have about 12 of these lines all around the boat. You just got to troll around about 12 or 15. You got a bunch of hooks out. Well, the more hooks you got out, I mean, it makes sense to me. The more hooks you got out, the more fish you're going to catch. I mean, if you just got one little hook out, you're not going to catch very many fish. Well, the more hooks we got out for Jesus, wouldn't it claim to you and see it make sense to you, the more we got out visiting and telling people about Jesus Christ, wouldn't you think we'd catch more fish that way? I mean, that's what he's talking about here. You know, in our visitation, our Sunday school classes today, and as we go out and tell people, let down your net. It says in verse 4, it says, let down your nets. That's plural. There in verse 5, says Peter, says, let down your net. One person. Now, he had some help there. I'm going to tell you, to start with, we find out also we have to have it in the right place. But not only that, we find out we have to pay a price for it too. there's a price to pay to catch fish. Now, I don't know how much it costs to go down there saltwater fishing. I don't know how much bait costs and gas costs and all that, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think you can go very far on $3 or $4. Now, I used to get me a can of worms, about 20 cent worth, you know, or go down and get them for 50 cent, and you go down there to the river and you can catch a fish for a can, well, a little 50 cent for a can of worms. If you're lucky, you can might get them out yourself. But I don't think you can go down there and catch a mess of fish now with $3 or $4. Does it cost more today to catch fish than ever did before? Well, I'm going to tell you, it costs to catch fish for Jesus, too. There's a price to pay. The master, we toiled all night, hadn't caught nothing. It's going to cost you to catch fish for Jesus. It's going to take your time. It's inconvenient. It takes time to go fishing. That's one reason I don't go. It takes time. It's inconvenient. I'm telling you what, it's hard work. Is it not? I'm telling you. I don't mind the fishy parts of bad, but I don't like to come back and have to clean up all that mess. I don't like to clean fish. I don't like to clean up the boat. I don't like to clean up. It's a lot of hard work, is it not, to go fishing? I mean, there's a lot involved in going fishing. I mean, you've got to be inconvenient if you're going to catch fish. Now, this is just simple. And then you've got to have partnership. Cotton's on one, can't find nobody to go with him. I wouldn't go by myself. Cotton, he'd go right by himself. I don't have any fish to catch, but you see, you've got to have partners. The more people you have, the better chance you have of catching more fish. Isn't that right? I mean, you got more partnership. It says there in verse 6 and 7, I've done read, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. They filled both ships up. They begin to sink. It takes partnership. Of every one of them, it takes partnership for someone to get saved. You know that? I'm going to tell you, it's not my work that's doing this. It's not my work. You know, we got a plaque on back here in the foyer that we baptized a lot of people a year or two ago. It takes your work and everybody's work together to see that someone is saved. It takes a lot of work. It's partnerships. And it says, come help us. That's what we do. That's what we do on visitation. That's what we do as you're going each day of your life, is telling people about Jesus Christ. Something everybody can do. There's something that everybody can do. But something else we got to look at. There's a price we got to pay. There's partnership. But the third thing, you know what? There are devotion factors we look at. If you truly love Jesus Christ, we want to be fishermen of men or fishermen of people. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. Missionaries, they give up everything they have. They give up their family. They give up their job. They give up everything to go to a place they've never been before, probably most of them, to win people to the Lord for Jesus Christ. Would you say, boy, they must love them people. Sarah's going to Ecuador. I don't know if you love any over there or not. But I'm going to tell you, she's not going over there because she loves the people. I'm going down to Mexico before long, but I'm not going down because I love the people. I'm going down because I love Jesus. And Jesus will help you love people. That's what mission is all about, loving Jesus Christ. He'll help us love people. Devotion factor we have. The missions that God give us. You and I weren't too lovable before we were saved, were we not? I don't like that bunch. I don't like that bunch. They don't behave themselves right. How about you? How'd you behave before you were saved? How about some of you? How'd y'all cut up in church before you were saved? Now you're old, now you sit back with your smiles upon your face and your super spirituality sticking out now, and you say, well, I was a good old boy. No, you wasn't either, girl either. You was full of mischief too. Help our young people know how it is to serve Jesus Christ. Show them the pattern, help them, and be kind to them. Also, we find out there was leaning on the word, leaning on the scriptures. Verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. You see, the world come into existence by the word of the God. Did y'all know that? In the beginning, God created. I mean, that's where the world come into existence. But not only that, at thy word, miracles occurred by the word of Jesus Christ. At thy word, lives are changed. The wage of sin is death, but there's a gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the word of God. When you love Jesus Christ, you'll always have a love for His Word. When you love Jesus Christ, you'll always have a love for His Word. You'll have a love for His people. You'll have a love for His church. Build your life on the Word of God. God built a world this way. And I'm going to tell you what, He builds families this way. And that's a good way for you to build your marriage. And that's the honest way to build a church, is on the Word of God. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glorious He shed on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And we'll all we have to do is to trust and obey of the Word of God. You see, it's what they learned, the devotional factor. They had to lean on the Word of God. But they was learning of their self. That you know who you are tonight? Learning of the self. You see, it says there in verse 8 and verse 9, when Simon Peter saw it, that is the great miracle of the catch of fish. He saw this. Then he saw this. He fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fig, the great number of fish which they had taken. He saw and recognized that was a miracle of God Almighty, Jesus Christ. He knew exactly who He was. He never saw a catch of fish like that before. What happened to him just by that catch of fish, that miracle, he saw a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ right there in that miracle of catching fish. There was a glory of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when people get the glory of who Jesus is, when you learn about yourself and you see yourself who you really are, and you see Jesus for the glory that He is, I'm going to tell you, you do what old Peter done. Oh, that I am unworthy. What did Isaiah say when he was in a temple? Woe is me, O God, for I am undone. When you get a vision of the Lord, what happens to you? When you get a vision of the Lord, you see yourself in your sinful condition. You need to get a good look at yourself. They was learning of Himself, and then we need to learn of ourselves today and see how that we fail so many times. You really look at yourself. You really see yourself how you really are in the Word of God. Are you satisfied with yourself? Oh, Peter said, "Oh, Lord, depart from me." Because he saw the miracle of God. He saw Himself. Oh, what he needed now is revival. And I think what we really need today is a revival also of every one of us. But you see, when you have this, we have the longing for souls. In verse 10 said, "And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partnered with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt be catchers of men." I have a future for you, he says. God's got a future for you. If he didn't have a future for us to use us, you wonder why he's not moved us off of this earth. Wonder why we're here, sitting here this night, as you know. The assignment, they still here on this earth. You've got an assignment, the Great Commission. And verse 11 says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." When they brought the ships to land, you see, they abandoned it. They forsook all and followed Jesus. They all went for a new job. You want a new job in the morning? People are looking for new work. You want a new job in the morning? You don't have to change your old job. Just be fishing with men tomorrow on your old job. They forsook all and they followed Jesus Christ. You know, now, Peter, so many times, he had this pull on his life, as I told you in the Gospel of John chapter 21. I believe it is the last chapter of John. Whenever Jesus Christ was crucified, he was there on the shore of Galilee, and the disciples had given up hope, and they had went back, and Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know what he said? I'm going back to my way of life. This is the third time in Peter's life that he went back. This is the second time here that I'm reading about. And then we know in the book of John, it's about the third time, Peter said, I'm going fishing again. I'm going back. Man, I tell you what, he was a leader of men, Peter was, and all, most disciples, they went with him. Well, we're going too, Peter, wait on us. We're all going back to our old way of life. We're going back to this old pool. Jesus Christ was on the shore of Galilee, and he had a fire. He had some fishes on there. I wonder where he got them from. One of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm the master." And then we find out that John says, "That's the Lord, Peter." And old Peter jumped out of the boat and went swimming to Jesus. She said, "Come bring your fish. We're going to have some supper tonight with the Lord." And that's whenever Jesus Christ says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, I love you." He said, "Feed me sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." He said, "Feed me sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" Three times he asked him, "Do you love me?" And there's a story behind that I won't get. He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." And Peter, not many days after that, he stood on the bank, he stood on the hilltop, and he preached to those Jews at Pentecost, and 3,000 people saved, because he understood the domination factor that Jesus Christ was in charge. He understood there was a direction to show people the way of the cross, and he understood there was a devotion factor. He owed his life and his soul to Jesus Christ. Then I could hear old Peter whenever those people began to come. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I decided to follow Jesus. I decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. A lot of times I come out here for visitation and a lot of people don't have time and I'm out here right by myself. But you see, that don't bother me a great deal because I'm not going to turn back. I'm going where Jesus wants me to go. I'm going to try to catch some fish. There's no turning back, no turning back. You know, if you get the decision, it won't matter what you think, what someone else do. Well, why ain't they here? They should be here. They ought to be doing that. I ought to be doing that. She's not doing her part. He's not doing his part. They should be doing that. If you quit worrying about what other people's not doing and get concerned with what you're doing, I'll tell you what, you'll get along a lot better with the Lord. I'm not really worried about what you're not doing. It's what I need to be doing that I'm more concerned about. And if I keep this old person here straight, I haven't got to worry about you. I'm just going to preach the word and let the Lord take care of you. This old boy is one that gives me more problem than anybody else in this church. It's me. I have decided to follow Jesus and become the song of invitation. I hope that you have too. I hope you understand fishing with Jesus Christ is so important. And it is. To be able to have the master on board of your ship. Without him, I'll tell you, you won't be catching many fish. And you certainly you won't be catching fish for the Lord. Jesus Christ is the only way. Thank you, Lord. Help us be fishermen of men and bring people to Jesus Christ. How they need it so very bad. Thank you.